Hello and welcome to our program. We continue today in Nehemiah chapter 2. We're talking about what a Bible revival is all about. Stay tuned. Reading in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me." Well, we looked at the first part of this in our last program, so we won't look at that again, but we'll pick it up in verse 4. It says, "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven." Now, he prayed, he made the king wait while he checked with God on this. It says, "So I prayed." That word "so" is in Nehemiah 32 times. It's an interesting little word. So he said, "Well, I'll pray about that." Good thing he did, because when he prayed, he got things he may not have gotten had he just went ahead and said, "Well, let me go back and see if I can help out back there." He prayed, and then he said to the king, "If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight," number one, he said, "would thou send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." Now he said, "Send me." You'll find that word "me" in verse number 5, "that I may build it" in verse number 5, "let letters be given to me" in verse number 7, and then "that the king's forest, the keeper there, will give me timbers to make beams." And then he said that the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And then it says in verse number 9, "Now the king has sent captains of armies and horsemen with me." What he's saying here is, I need to be in charge back there. And what happened was, the king of Persia made Nehemiah the governor of Jerusalem, and he had the papers to prove it. And so not only did he get all of the timber and all of the things that he needed from the king's forest, But we see in verse number 9 that the king sent a military escort with him, all because it says back here in verse number 4, so I prayed. I prayed. Well, we get to verse 10, we've got a problem. It says when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved them exceedingly. What is their burden? Why didn't they just stay home and have a barbecue with their family? Why have they got to be concerned about what Nehemiah is up to? Well, because the Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's one reason. But the reason they're upset when Nehemiah shows up, we need to go back to Ezra to get that story. And Ezra went back years before, you remember, to build the temple. And we read back there in Ezra 4 and verse number 1 through 3, it says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jehoshaphat and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as the king Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. And so they're upset because they wouldn't let them get involved. Of course, God didn't want them involved anyway. They were not part of them. They were a bunch of hypocrites trying to infiltrate to cause some problems. Well, Zerubbabel and Jehoshaphat, they were smarter than that. He said, you have nothing to do with us to build with us. Now, here comes Nehemiah some years later. And so we see that Sanballat and Tobiah, when they heard of it, they grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel because they hated Israel. Well, we read in verse number 11 that it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. So he says, I came to Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah, as we said, was not a king, he was not a priest, he was not a prophet, he was not a seer, he was not a Levite, he was not a scribe, he was just a man with a government job, just an ordinary person, and there's a lot of ordinary people around that God would like to use today. And so like Isaiah, God said, who will I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, here's Nehemiah, same way. He said, here am I, send me. So I came to Jerusalem. And he was there for 3 days. Now, I'm not sure what that 3 days represents. I know it represents something important. But you read back in Ezra chapter 8 and verse number 32, when Ezra went back, it says, we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. 3 days. Interesting. That phrase appears in the Bible quite a bit, and there's certainly some significance to that 3 days other than the fact that they were tired and needed a rest after they got there. Anyway, we read that Nehemiah rose in the night, and it says, I and some few men with me. 29 times Paul talks about that. He uses that phrase, with me. He talks about people who were with him in what he was trying to do. Well, Nehemiah didn't have a big group. He had a few men. Now he says, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Now we see that he did something unusual here. It says in verse 13, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, or the dung gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Now, he mentions four gates, and we're going to look at these gates in much more detail when we get along in the next chapter. But first of all, it says here he went to the valley gate. The valley gate represents humility. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. So first of all, it begins with humility. Then he went on to the dung port. That is where they carried all the garbage out of the city. He went on from there to the gate of the fountain, which represents the Holy Spirit. And then he comes back to the gate of the valley, it says here. So we have some leadership qualifications here. If we're going to see revival, it's going to begin with the leadership. And so the first thing that the leadership, Nehemiah is in charge here. Keep in mind that he is totally sold out to God, but the first thing he wants to check out is his humility. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. What a subject that is. And so we need to be humble, which is the opposite of pride. Then he said, I went to the dung port. We got to be sure that we're going to get out all the garbage. Then he went on to the gate of the fountain, which means it represents the Holy Spirit. Then, and the lesson here is the Holy Spirit needs to be in charge of everything we're doing. Then he goes back to the gate of the valley, because that's where it all starts, humility. God isn't going to work through pride. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Humble themselves. All right, so we have leadership qualifications. Now, God has two sets of leaders here, basically, in this world to do the things that he wants done in a spiritual realm. One is pastors and one is parents, and particularly fathers. Pastors have a responsibility to make sure that we have these situations in our lives, that is humility, get the garbage out and make sure the Holy Spirit is in charge. And so do fathers when it comes to Angie. Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's a responsibility of pastors, it's a responsibility of parents, and particularly fathers. Well, we get to verse 16, and it says, the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Well, we have quite a group of people here. The rulers, the priests, the nobles, the Jews, the rest that did the work. Now, there's some work going on. They've been back there for nearly 100 years. And they had been messing around trying to get that wall done, but they'd got discouraged. And they got, as we mentioned in a previous broadcast, a problem with apathy setting in, and they just weren't concerned anymore about continuing on. They were building their own houses, and you remember Haggai, he gave him a bit of a message about that. Well, the rulers. It says in Nehemiah 3 and 5 that the nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. It says in Nehemiah 5 and 7, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers. Nehemiah 4 and 14, I said unto the nobles and to the rulers, do not be afraid of them, he said. So we can see here that there's a leadership problem. And there's a serious leadership problem today, too, when it comes to these things of the Lord. Well, we read in verse number 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, first of all, he said after he had examined these gates, these three gates, and then back to the first one that represents humility, And I believe that the lesson here is for, well, let's make sure as leadership, as pastors, and as parents, we have this straight. Then he said, I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So he said, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Now, the wall was down, and because the wall was down, they were a reproach. Now, if we go back to Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 9, they were supposed to be building the walls. It says there that God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, and hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And because they hadn't built the wall, they were a reproach. And they were a reproach because, you see, we're to build walls, not bridges. Bridges today, that's the whole theme. Like, we got to build bridges to religion. We got to build bridges in society. We got to all just get together and believe the trash that they believe in society. Doesn't matter if they're immoral or not. Let's just build bridges. Well, we can't build bridges between truth and error. We can't build bridges between truth and half-truth either. What we need is walls, not bridges. So they built up the walls, and anything less than that, they're going to be a reproach. And they were a reproach. So he said, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then, verse 18, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And the king had, you remember, had given the building permit by the decree of the king, gave them all the materials that were necessary to accomplish the task, and made Nehemiah the governor of Jerusalem. Well, they recognized this, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Well, verse 19 says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Well, here we have Sanballat and Tobiah, and they picked up someone else. His name is Geshem. And they are ridiculing them. Well, the Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, he answered in verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And here's Nehemiah taking the exact stand that Ezra took when he said, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. Well, the remnant, they chose to go the way of God, and I'll tell you, you can see it's right very plain, as we'll see in the next chapters. You choose the way of God, you choose the way of persecution, and that's one reason why so few people choose to go the way of God that call themselves Christians today. If they'd have built together, the remnant with the riffraff, life would have been a lot easier, but they chose to do it God's way. And as we've said in our last broadcast, we have no choice but to choose.